This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Thomas J. Starnes. Tom is president and CEO of Del Air, a company in business for over 30 years focusing on heating, air conditioning, and appliances. Del Air has over 400 fully stocked trucks on the road and offers 24/7 emergency service to either residential or commercial properties. Del Air is the largest heating and air conditioning company in Florida. Tom is a seasoned corporate executive with Fortune 500 experience in industries ranging from office supplies to consumer packaged goods. He is well known for his proven ability to lead both startup organizations and large corporations. Tom's rich background includes being president of Hughes Supply, a Fortune 500 company, sales manager at Procter & Gamble, general manager of residential facilities maintenance at Interline Brands, and brand manager at Frito-Lay. Tom has an MBA from the Harvard Business School and a master's in biblical studies. He has also served as chairman of LifeWork Leadership, an organization that provides faith-based leadership training. Tom, welcome to the studio today.
Thank you, Sam. It's good to be here.
Good. Listen, before we really get started, one of the things that caught me about last move that you have made career-wise has put you in an industry that's probably a lot different than the other industries that you've been in. Tell us about that decision. I'm sure a lot of people have had or will have opportunity to shift industries. And what kinds of thoughts went through your mind as you pondered that decision?
Well, I think as you pointed out, my background is fairly diverse. And I've never been afraid of a challenge. I knew this would be different than anything else I'd ever done. But there have been some pretty substantial changes in my career over the years. And a fair amount of that was actually following one senior manager. And the guy was Tom Morgan, and he'd gone to University of Tennessee, and he had spent some time at seminary, and he was just a great manager. And as he changed jobs in industry, I followed him to three different companies. And so with those changes, you get used to making changes and knowing how to enter a company.
With that in mind and your diversity and background, there's also a principle in the management literature called universality of management. And that in that circumstance, what happens is that the principal says that if you're a manager and a manager with talent and ability, you can move from situation to situation because the management principles are pretty much universal in terms of application. Let's jump into Del Air. Tell us about the company.
Well, Del Air is really unique, and we claim on our website that we're the largest residential HVAC company in Florida, but I think we're the largest actually in the country. And a lot of that has to do with the founding principles of our founder, Bob Delarusso, and also just how driven Bob was. This is a home services business. It's very difficult to scale. And Bob just pushed a little bit harder than most people and never stopped trying to grow and improve. And he had some principles like always do high quality work and guaranteeing 100% customer satisfaction. And things like that have really performed well for Del Air. So Bob actually sold the company to the employees. We're now 100% employee-owned. We're
wow.
An ESOP.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about how the company's structured. You are the president, and as you start to look at your responsibilities as CEO, there are other people around you. And how are you structured at the top of this organization? It might be interesting for people to know and understand.
Yeah, I tell you, I have really been blessed with the management team that I get to work with at Del Air. A number of experienced managers stayed on when I came on board and we changed to an ESOP, but I got to bring a couple folks with me. So the combination of, I'll just call it new blood and veteran experience, really makes for an exciting dynamic. and it allows us to do some things that we haven't done in the past. Probably the biggest change has been in sales and marketing. Bob had a sales manager had been with him for about 30 years who has left to be president and CEO of his own company. And so we brought in a new chief sales and marketing officer with an incredibly diverse background in home services, and in particular in his ability to get business online, which is something that probably was underdeveloped at Del Air.
Okay. When you think about your responsibilities, I know anybody in your opinion, how allocability of allocating resources in different ways. Tell us about that process and how allocation works, given goals, given people in your organization.
Yeah, it can be a fairly complex process. As you know, time, money are always limited. There's no bottomless bucket of resources. So you got to find a way to manage the long term and the short term. In the short term, we've got a little bit of debt we need to pay down from the transition to an ESOP. But at the same time, you've got to make sure you've got trucks that can get to the job sites and service your customers appropriately. You've got to make sure you have the right inventory. So you have to balance the short term and the long term at the same time.
When you think about your circumstance, and I know your faith is very important to you, and in the introduction we talked about both your MBA and a master's in biblical studies. Mm-hmm. Tell us how those two fit together with you as a person and how they impact what happens at Del Air.
Well, it's an interesting question. I think over time, as I've gone higher in the various organizations that I've worked in, the master's in biblical studies has probably become more and more important. Initially, after my MBA at Harvard, a lot of the technical skills you learn are very, very helpful. But the graduates from Harvard Business School, when they come back, the professors always ask, what do you think you need that we didn't give you here? And every class says, I wasn't prepared for the people challenges that I was going to face. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bible is full of wisdom about how to manage and interact with people. And so I lean on those principles quite a bit.
Okay. Encouragement. Knowing how to encourage people, how to critique different kinds of performance that occurs in organizations. What are your experiences with that? How can you help us understand how that works? And
well, I think that's a place where I'm learning and growing as well. Not everyone accepts, I'll just call it constructive criticism or suggestions for improvement in the same way. There are some people that will thrive with support and encouragement, but they find it difficult, I think, to identify their areas of opportunity to improve. And when you get to, I'll just call it the C-suite, the chief suites, chief information officer, chief sales or marketing officer, chief operating officer, these are usually very experienced managers who are pretty driven, and they accept direction differently. And it's a challenge managing those different personalities.
What do you find that's been useful for you in encouraging people in either the C-suite or other places in the organization?
I think that a reliance on truth is really important. I think some managers, to use a cliche, sugarcoat the message, and it gets lost. And so I try to be direct but tactful and diplomatic and make sure that I'm treating each person with dignity and respect, but at the same time sharing the facts and sharing my perspective on performance.
You're a fan of Coach K's.
Yeah, Krzyzewski, I am. Yeah.
And basketball coach at Duke. And he talks about truth a bit. What have you learned from him about truth?
Well, you know, Sam, as you and I have discussed, I'm a shameless, I call it, plagiarist, because there's lots of great wisdom out there. And I don't actually plagiarize because I try to give credit. But I remember seeing a video on Coach K and his style. One thing struck me was how he managed his team in intense situations where important decisions needed to be made, and he needed his team to follow them. And he said, when we have these meetings or these discussions, what we're after is the truth now. And I think that's important in business. speed is a very important competitive advantage. And I see a lot of managers and management teams get bogged down in analysis. They're so afraid to make a mistake, or their judgment might be off, or they want to prove it to the last piece of possible risk, that it slows down their decision making. And so one thing we try and do at Del Air is come to our meetings prepared with relevant information and expecting we're going to make a decision on the spot. And then when we leave that meeting, all of us will be headed in the same direction.
We have a feature called Sunday to Monday in each podcast, and it's something that you might hear on a Sunday that you can take forward and use in the workplace. And one of the verses that comes to mind for me in this conversation is Zechariah 8:16. And that verse says that these are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Is that the theme that you're talking about?
I think that's a great verse. And I would say that is pretty much on target with what we're trying to accomplish in our executive meetings.
A lot of people talk about truth and relate it to honesty, and that it becomes a virtuous thing to do, to tell the truth. From a business perspective, and I think this is one of the things you're implying, is that the truth can also make you a more efficient organization. How does that work?
The way I think that would work at Del Air is combining the experienced managers that I mentioned before, along with the new blood that can bring different techniques, and the perspective of different managers and their experiences. No person, I think, can have the complete version, we'll say, of the truth, because you're going to come at it from different experiences, and I think we're all captives to a certain degree of our own experiences. So combining the different experiences and perspectives of our managers gets us to the truth.
And when you have that truth, you don't meander, and it saves time and effort, and you become, in effect, more efficient in trying to problem solve.
That's correct.
Another topic that I'd like to cover with you has to do with expectations for performance. I know that as a leader, that's one of the things that you like to stress in terms of clear communication and conversation with employees. How do your expectations impact organizational success?
Well, one of the things that I learned at Harvard Business School, I was talking to the professor that led the first year program one time, and he said, we've studied all different types of management techniques, and you can be the nicest person in the world or you can be a real ogre. But one thing that we have found, in fact, the only thing we have found, is consistent high expectations of the organization. That always leads to improved performance. So I try and set the bar pretty high, and then I expect people to meet it.
When we have a circumstance where we're told that we need to enhance people, to make people better, Stephen Covey says, treat a man as if he is, and he will remain as he is. So we don't want everybody necessarily being the same. We want them to move forward in terms of skill and production that they bring. And one of the things that it brings to mind as a leader is how do we communicate expectations? And how do we ensure that people understand what we want from them? There's a verse that talks about servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. It's Colossians. But that told creates a responsibility for us as leaders to communicate in a very succinct and powerful way. Is there a relationship between communication and expectations in your mind?
Yeah, of course. And this is probably an area I think I would like to improve upon, because I know what expectations I have for the organization, and I try to communicate that. In fact, we have a monthly letter that goes out to every single employee in the organization, and we've set up fall company picnics where our employees can bring their families and spouses can ask questions about the company and healthcare benefits and so forth. But as it relates to performance, I don't think you can over-communicate. because a lot of what we do, even though we may understand it as managers, I think it's lost in translation. So I give it to them in writing, and I try and tell it to them personally when I see them around the office or in the field.
I know in conversation that you and I have had personally that you talk about the idea of when you work as though you're working for the Lord and
that's
not
correct.
Another man. What does that do for you as a worker when that happens? That worker can be you as CEO. It can be somebody who's on a truck servicing AC equipment.
Correct. Well, for me personally, I have found that even managers, bosses that I've worked for in the past, sooner or later you're going to have a disagreement or you're going to feel like they let you down or they didn't support you enough. And that can take its toll. But if you're working for the Lord, Lord's always faithful. And all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And you're going to have a completely different perspective on your job than if you're working for a paycheck or if you're just working for a company or if you're working for a particular manager.
You like the book With My Eyes Wide Open. What's it teaching you?
Well, you know, I'm reading that right now, and I'm not quite finished with it, but I have some exposure over the years to Brian Welch, the author, the lead guitarist for Korn, through my son, who listens to what I'll call that headbanging music. It's not my style, but Brian Welch has been through some very difficult situations and has a very close relationship with the Lord. And he just comes from a completely different environment and different culture than the one that I grew up in or work in and continue to work in. And I like to take myself out of my own comfort zone from time to time, and this book is doing that.
Okay. Okay. We end each podcast with a pearl of wisdom. And when you think about something that you would like to leave as a thought for individuals, something that might be useful for them, something that might be powerful to them in their work life as leaders, what would that be, Tom?
Well, one of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy 1:7. The Lord's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind, depending on the translation that you read. And I think that fits a lot of Christians, and they should take that verse to heart and be more bold in the workplace. God's already given you the talent and the skills you need for the position that you're in, and not everything's going to go perfectly or as planned, but God got you covered. So let's move forward boldly.
What do you do to move forward boldly? Let's talk about some practical things that kind of make that transition.
Well, you can't be afraid to do the right thing. And I'll give you an example. I was reading a tip that came from Harvard Business Review recently, and it said that a large percentage of the population could not get their hands on a relatively small amount of money, being $1,000, in 5 days or less. Hmm. And that financial inability or that financial concern created a whole lot of stress in their lives because they're always worried about, will my car hold up? Or what happens if somebody gets sick? What will I do? So at Del Air, we implemented a hardship loan program. And so if you find yourself in that situation, you've exhausted a variety of opportunities to pay your bills, you can come to us, and we will front you $1,500 interest-free. And I remember the first time we did this, we had 7 applications in the first week.
Wow.
And 2 of those applications, we helped them in different ways. We didn't have to loan them money. The other 5, we stopped 3 tenant evictions, an auto repo, and a homeowner foreclosure. And so we moved forward boldly. There was a risk that people would take advantage of this, and
right.
It hadn't happened that way. And I think it really made a significant impact in the culture at Del Air.
One of the things we keep trying to focus on in these podcasts is that Christian principles make for good business principles. And with the loan program you're talking about, it demonstrates your care and concern and really love for the people that are working in your organization. From a business principle viewpoint, it creates a culture where people are tight and where they focus with one another in achieving goals.
That's correct.
Okay, good. I hate to say this, Tom, but our time is up. Thank you so much for being here today. you can contact Tom using the email address tstarnes@delair.com. Let me spell that just to make sure. It's tstarnes@delair.com. Thanks to all of your listeners for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you next Wednesday. In the meantime, you know the drill. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.